Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. The bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest as a sacrifice for sin are burned outside the camp. So Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his own blood. Therefore, let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing abuse for him. For here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city which is to come. Let us pray. Father, in thy mysterious presence kneeling, fain would our souls feel all thy kindling love. For we are weak and need some strange revealing of trust and strength and calmness from above. And so wilt thou reveal thyself to us and to all who need thy revealing. Speak to us, O God, for thy servants are listening. Amen. Mr. Bob Hensley, Robert Hensley, who is a missionary to the Bahamas and who is a graduate of this school, now on furlough doing Four years ago, in 1964, a Lutheran missionary friend of mine published a book, the title of which was Missionary, Go Home. Obviously, the title was derived from the oft-repeated slogan, Yankee, Go Home. The same idea is reflected in the titles of two other books, which, as it happened, were published in the same year, The Unpopular Missionary and The Ugly Missionary. I always feel a bit sensitive about the last of these. The idea is that the missionary is often unwanted, and this idea is supported in various ways. In 1966, all of the missionaries were expelled, for example, from Burma, although it is fair to say that they were permitted to stay longer than other foreigners. And missionaries have been expelled from other places in recent years. Some of them have been killed, as in the Congo, or their entrance to various lands has been rendered more and more difficult. A few days ago, I heard a missionary to East Africa speaking, and he related his experience in negotiating with a governmental official in Tanzania before his departure for the States on furlough. The official looked at him across the desk and said, "Are you going back to America to retire?" Well, the missionary was not nearly that old. He was somewhat taken aback, and he said, "No, I'm going back for a year, and then I expect to return to Tanzania." The official looked him in the eye and said, "Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. I was hoping that you would not come back." The fact is, then, that missionaries often find themselves unwanted. Sometimes they feel that their brethren in the younger churches do not really want them, and for various reasons. One of the most poignant memories I have is a visit to a certain country, talking with several of the missionaries, and hearing from two or three of them the statement, "The convention here doesn't really want us. They only want our money." Now, I think that the missionaries in that case misread the situation, and that in any case, they probably could have corrected the situation. But you see the pathos of these circumstances. The missionaries feel that even their Christian brethren in their place of work do not really want them and would like to say to them, missionary, go home. On the other hand, it is possible, and I think it is probably likely, that the injunction, missionary, come home, is even more strident and prevalent. A few months ago, a Southern Baptist missionary wrote an article with this title, Missionary, Come Home. Not only American secularists and non-religionists are making this summons, even from within the church, the call is sounded. Missionary, come home. You are a vestige of an imperialistic past. You are no longer our idol, you have become our embarrassment. You conjure up our guilt feelings for Western exploitation of the rest of the world and Western superiority complexes. Missionary, come home. Now this injunction, of course, is all the more devastating to the sensitive missionary, both because it comes from those who are supposed to share with him the Great Commission, and because he knows as acutely as anybody the staggering burden of an imperialistic past. But the missionary come home attitude is not merely psychological, rooted in guilt feelings. It is also theological, rooted in relativistic or syncretistic theological thinking. And so the voice says, missionary, come home. What are you doing meddling in the religious affairs of others? Don't you know that it is arrogant to try to convert a Hindu or a Muslim to Christian faith? Who are you to say what kind of religion people ought to have? Missionary, come home. Now, most of us who know something about the history and present reality of missions are convinced that the contemporary patterns of missions must be radically changed if they are to be relevant to a post-colonial age. But there are some thinkers who are sincerely committed to missions, who are suggesting that simply to reform the old structures is not enough. They believe that the profound revolution of our times and of our world, including the theological revolution within the church, calls for the death of the old and the resurrection or creation of new forms of mission. The old forms which must die, to cite Keith Bridston in his book Mission, Myth, and Reality, the old forms which must die include mission boards and societies, and the vocational category of missionary, or especially foreign missionary. Now, I cannot begin in this brief chapel message to deal with the complexities of this vocational problem. Let me, however, suggest what I believe are the essential and enduring marks of missionary vocation in the Christian church. First of all, I believe that the essential characteristic is the call of Christ, or the sending of Christ, to a frontier where Christian faith meets the unbelief of the world, or where the Christian gospel comes face to face with the non-Christian world. The key word here is frontier. Our world is full of such frontiers. One can hardly cross a street or a threshold without stepping on one of these frontiers. Missionary vocation helps to delineate them. It finds a frontier and insists on being there, communicating the gospel, and all under the direction of the sovereign Lord. Secondly, missionary vocation brings the diversity of Christian graces and gifts and vocations to bear upon the frontier situation. For example, the Apostle Paul in the church at Antioch was already theologian, apologist, administrator, scholar, teacher, pastor, tent maker, and perhaps several other functionaries. All of these, the Spirit of Jesus deployed in him on the frontiers of Asia Minor and Europe. And Christian Missions continues to deploy all of these vocations, the rich diversity of the Christian charismata upon the missionary frontiers. For example, in a recent publication of the Southern Baptist Foreign Mission Board entitled Needed Now, one can find the listing of about 25 different vocational categories of persons that are needed right now to fill spots that are vacant on missionary frontiers, and these are very diverse. The 25 or so include, for example, preaching ministries, which is a very broad category itself. They include physicians and nurses and paramedical ministries, personnel. They include chaplains. They include house parents. They include office workers and secretaries. They include radio and TV personnel. They include elementary teachers and secondary and college and seminary teachers and so on. And in the third place, in addition to gathering up the diversity of the Christian gifts or charismata, the missionary vocation is marked by a kind of pioneering charisma, an added gift. A gift for crossing frontiers, a holy restlessness, a centrifugal thrust, an apostolic urge to submerge one's life in an alien culture, to become all things to all men in order by all means to win some. And finally, the frontiersmanship of the missionary does not substitute for the frontiersmanship of the whole church. Rather, it focuses it. The small minority of Christians who are missionaries represent, of course, the larger church on the various frontiers. And thus, they serve to keep the church in vital contact, ethically, theologically, and otherwise, with the Christian world, the non-Christian world which confronts it. But perhaps even more importantly, the missionary, by making frontiersmanship obvious, helps remind the church that its whole life in all its members is to be lived on the cutting and growing edges of the world. Now suppose the friendly critics and the unfriendly ones are right. Suppose the old forms of missionary service, including vocational categories, the category of missionary, and terms, will have to be abandoned. Nobody should be better prepared for this radical turn of events than the missionary himself, for by the very nature of his vocation, he is committed to pioneering and insecurity. We need only to be sure that we do not write finish upon the present missionary structures before God does. For after all, as Bishop Douglas Sargent reminds us, in dealing with whether missionaries should come home, we must begin and end with asking what God wants. And there is every reason to believe, in my judgment, that no matter what friends and enemies of the missionaries may want, God wants missionaries. So far as I know, the Great Commission has never been annulled. And inherent in God's redemptive call to all people is His command to go to His church. There may be hints already of new forms of mission, not only to supplement the old forms, but possibly to suggest major patterns for mission in the post-colonial era. Non-professional missionaries, for example, the vast diaspora of Christian laymen who go to the ends of the earth in connection with governmental or private agencies, teachers, businessmen, diplomats, and so on. We haven't begun to explore adequately what these may mean for a vast new missionary witness throughout the world. I wonder, too, if our missionary agencies aren't coming to the situation where they must find new forms, new agencies, if you please, in terms of a new ecumenism, in which a missionary agency, for example, will not be sending only missionaries from one country and not only missionaries from one denomination, but missionaries from Japan and Nigeria, for example, would be working as one team in a given location on a frontier with missionaries from America and Europe. And this may be the new form of missionary deployment that is to come in the future. I was reading recently from a Mennonite scholar who suggested a new type of mission which he called migration evangelism, and which I would call immigration missions, in which he was suggesting that a group of carefully selected young people, couples, deliberately emigrate, to a missionary frontier, being trained in some technical skill. There they work according to their training and live by their earnings. They leave behind their American or European or whatever citizenship and take out citizenship of the place where they're going. They become a colony, but not an island of an alien culture. And there they plant themselves and their posterity in nurturing or bringing into being a Christian church. I think this has much to commend. What if sometime from Southeastern Seminary such a radical band as this would go forth, not to return on furlough, not to return. Now, in any case, whatever may happen to the present structures of the church and its mission, in the meantime, thank God, the missionaries and the mission boards are not quitting. And the missionary will have to continue to bear the burden of centuries of the sins of Western man, and try to bear it with grace. And he may expect that when he comes on home on furlough, he will not be greeted any longer so much as a returning hero. His pedestal will have been turned upside down, and he should be prepared to be tagged as a religious imperialist or a bigot, and this burden, too, he will have to bear with whatever grace he can muster. And I'm convinced that it can safely be predicted that whatever happens to the structures of the church and its mission, the community centering in the living Christ will continue to bear whatever scandalon or shame the mission of its crucified Lord may involve. It will continue to manifest the charismatic vocation of the pioneer on the frontiers of mission, whether he's called a missionary or not. And this pioneer will continue to communicate the gospel by a vast variety of expressions. And by his witness, the nations will continue to be discipled until the Lord himself appears to signal that the task is done and says, missionary, come home. And by the way, where is your frontier? Let us pray. Lord, we have wandered forth in doubt and sorrow, and thou hast made each step an onward one, and we will ever trust each unknown morrow. Thou wilt sustain us till our work is done. Amen.